Welcome back to the Empowered Hour. It's your girl, Athena, and...
Oh, Renata. It's been a long time.
Oh, my gosh. I'm almost embarrassed to come back. But you know what? We've been talking about it. We said we're going to get back into this. We're going to get back into this. Yes. And we're going to act like we got some God-loving sense because... We miss y'all. We miss being on the platform. Well, I'll speak for myself. I miss y'all. I miss being on the platform. I miss Lady J fussing at us. So,
we can speak on both of our behalf. That's okay.
Yeah. So we're back. We're going to start this thing off for the last quarter of the year. We're gonna get this thing properly started. So, I guess in true fashion, I'm going to pause. And I'll let Lady J tell everybody how they can listen in because I know I've forgotten some ways. So, Lady J, take it away.
If this is your first time tuning into the show or to JQLM Radio and you would like to share with your family, friends, and followers on all the different ways that they can tune in, be sure to tell them to download the JQLM Radio app on their Apple or Android devices. You can also listen live to JQLM Radio 24/7, 365 via Amazon Alexa, TuneIn app, the Stream and Simple Radio app, and a host of other platforms of which you can find located on our website where you can also listen live at egoentertainmentnet.com. Also, don't forget to follow, like, and share us. We do follow back. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at JQLM Radio. You can also connect with Ego Entertainment Network at egoentnet. That's EGOENTNET on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter also. Also, connect with us on LinkedIn at Ego Entertainment Network. And don't forget to subscribe, like, and share our YouTube channel, Ego TV Network, at youtube.com/EgoTV Network.
See, I knew I would miss something because, yeah, it's best for me not to even try. But one thing I didn't ask is how you doing, girl? I guess I see you all the time or talk to you all the time, but I can still ask on the air. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Happy that we're getting back on track and getting more consistent with other stuff. We've been doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes, so things are starting to fall in place. So excited about that. What about you? How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing cool, you know. I'm glad that I am among the living and I'm getting to live life and do some things that I want to do. So God is good. I'm still able and amen. Yeah. But today we have a special guest on today. You know, it's so funny that she's on the show today because people always say, well, where's the third member of Empowered Living? And it's not like she hasn't been around, but people just miss her, I guess. I don't know. But I guess because we have been away doing things behind the scenes, nobody really sees any of us like they used to. So we decided to bring the third member of Empowered Living on Empowered Hour today. And we're going to talk therapy. This is going to be fun because I get to be the non-therapist opinion. And then y'all can be the therapy opinion. Mm. What does that mean? I mean, because in general speaking, you know, because y'all get to do that whole, well, yes and no, and maybe in this situation. So, and I get to be like, my non-clinical. So I feel like I'm about to get triple teamed because Lady J is in the background and she got a little bit of a psychology background too. So I feel like I'm about to get triple teamed. But it's all right though. I'm going to stand strong for the non-clinicals today. I'm gonna do my best. Just try not to beat up on me too bad, y'all. That's all I ask.
You will be fine, so. We will bring in our third business partner. I think this is fitting to start off with this quarter, the fourth quarter weekend, and start off with having Joni on the show.
Mm-hmm. So, Joni, welcome to the Empowered Hour.
Hello, hello. I'm glad to be here.
Glad to have you.
This is my first time back. It's not my first time being on the show, but of course, my first time back in a long time.
Okay.
we've been on hiatus for so long. I don't know if anybody's listening, but we pray somebody listening out there, because they probably like, I'm sick of them Empowered Living Chicks. They've heard so many reruns. They're like, you know what? They could probably tell us what we talked about. So, but anyway.
Okay. But we're not going to dwell on the past. We're going to move towards the future. So, Joni, can you tell our wonderful listeners a little bit about yourself? Tell them who you are, what you do, how long you've been a therapist, all those good things.
Okay. Well, I'll start out with my name. My name is Joan, but everybody calls me Joni. My mom told me she named me after Joan Crawford, and I don't like her at all, so I'm okay with being called Joni. I mean, she was a good actress. My mother loved her, obviously. But anyway, I've been a therapist almost as long as our inception in the business. Not quite that long, but almost a few months. So 12 plus years, been a therapist that long as well. I have experience with working with kids, but I haven't worked with kids that are nonverbal. I've never worked with nonverbal kids. All the kids I've worked with are, the youngest has been 5 years old. And I do enjoy that work, but it can be a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Needless to say. But I have one son, one grandson. On a personal note, I have, I don't want to say two dogs because I'm taking care of my grandson's dog and he just hadn't come and got him yet. So I've got quasi two dogs, kind of, sort of.
You need to call him because I wouldn't be babysitting this long. I'm sorry.
I know. He's been doing a lot of work. He's been doing overtime trying to get ready for Christmas. So I'm trying to be patient because my name might be on his Christmas list. Who knows? He better be. Oh,
that's what I was going to say. I was going to say he better have you on that list at the top.
I know. I should be. If my name's not on that list, I'm going to tell you about it and you can let him know something.
I sure will. You know, I ain't got no qualms with it.
I know. But, my grandson will be 23 years old next month. And I'm just beside myself because I can't believe that he'll be 23.
Me either.
No, I take that back. 24. Mm. Wow, I can't keep up with his birthdays.
I was gonna say, isn't he the same age as my baby? But
yeah, they're the same age. That's what made me remember. But I've had a calling to work with the gay community. Hopefully I said that correctly, because I know it's so many acronyms to describe that community. But when I mentioned it to Renata and Athena, they asked me why did I want to work with that community. Well, I've had a conversation with myself, and I kind of thought about how everyone else, you know, in any other community, they have resources, multiple resources, where this community doesn't. And I wanted to be one of their resources. And that's the reason why I want to work with that community. And I've already had some experience working with that community. I've worked with a couple and then a few individuals. And I believe we had some good movement towards their goals. So that's me in a nutshell, basically.
Okay. Excuse me. And so kind of what made you decide that you wanted to become a therapist in the first place?
Well, I have always had people to come to me with conversations that really were none of my business. I'll be like, I'll give you an example. One time I was in the airport and I'm just sitting there waiting for my phone to charge, because at that time they didn't have phone chargers on the air. Well, at least I didn't know where they were on the airplanes. And this woman comes up to me and starts talking to me. And I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, do I know this lady? And I know I don't believe she knows me. But that's not the only time that happened. That happened over and over. And I was like, is the Lord trying to tell me something? So I pursued therapy because it seemed like it was a calling. So that's the reason why I decided to get into therapy, to answer my calling.
Okay.
So what do you think the most challenging part of being a therapist would be to date? I mean, I know there's going to be some more challenges that come, but what do you think has been one of the most challenging things you've had to endure to date?
I haven't personally experienced domestic violence, but dealing with clients that are going through domestic violence or have that in their narrative, that's a challenge for me. And I'll give a little self-disclosure. My sister went through domestic violence. I had to ride sometimes with my dad to break up fights between her and her husband. And he was a big guy. And I just really felt bad that, you know, she was going through all that. She had three kids. Sometimes he'd have to go get the kids. So I never went through it personally, but indirectly I did go through it, because seeing her go through that, I kind of went through it too with her. Hmm. So domestic violence is still a challenge for me. But I'll work with clients that are experiencing that, because I know they need help, but that's still, I really have to hold myself in the seat sometimes.
Okay. What would you say has been like a moment as a therapist that has like really charged you or really made you like solidified in, yes, this is the career that was perfect for me?
I had a client that, what was she going through? I think she was one of those, it's not been too long ago, because what brought her into therapy, her grandmother came down with COVID. She was fine, working in the church, doing all of whatever she did on a day-to-day basis, and suddenly gets sick with this illness and she dies. And that client came to me, we hardly could get through therapy because she was so emotional. this is the grandmother that raised her, that she lived with. I mean, she did a lot of things with her grandmother. And for her to lose her grandmother like that, it was devastating. She wasn't sick, you know. It's different if you kind of prepare yourself when a loved one is sick. But when they're not sick and they just suddenly leave us like that.
Mm-hmm.
So behind that, she told me that she didn't think she would ever be able to smile again when we first started working together. After she stayed in therapy almost a year. So I'd say after about 4 months, she told me that she thinks she could smile again. And that really did something for me to hear her change her story from saying she can't to saying that she felt like she could.
Awesome, awesome. Look at you out here doing this good work.
Yeah.
So I guess my question to you would be, since you're dealing a lot with, or you have dealt a lot with, traumas and things that people go through, what do you do as a self-care decompression regimen to get that all off of you? Because, you know, in my situation, why I could never be a therapist is because I always carry a lot with me. I carry people's trauma, carry people's drama, and it literally weighs on me. And a lot of times I can feel it. So that's why I know I can't be a therapist, because I talk a good game about, oh, I'm going to, do this, that, and the other. But when it comes down to it, it's like my self-care, if I don't do it often, like dang near every day, I literally would carry everybody else's stuff. But I know for you guys as therapists, not to say you don't carry people's stuff, but you have to probably do it after every session, because I can't imagine listening to somebody's problems 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times a day and not carrying some of that with you, because not every therapy session is going to be all peaches and rainbows. Most of them are going to be traumatic or draining or stressful. So, I mean, what do you do? Because I know Renata kind of has shared what she's done or has or does to decompress and to get herself centered. So what would you do as somebody who has been doing this a little, the same amount of time as Renata, but you deal more with clients of a different nature at times?
That's true. And I appreciate this question, because we just spoke on this not too long ago. I lead a family success workshops at the Glick Center, and we were just talking about that. But it was in terms of basically self-care, period. Well, me, myself, after I see a difficult client, I try to detach myself totally. I may watch a funny movie. I may go visit one of my cousins or just get away from it some sort of way. Try to detach myself. Go get my nails done. Haven't been able to afford a massage here lately, but I'd like to get massages. Of course, I like to travel as well, but, you know, when you got family and stuff, you can't always travel. So that's sometimes in the mix. But mainly, I just try to detach. And if it gets too overwhelming in therapy, I haven't done it too often. I can count on one hand the amount of times I had to do it. But I've had to excuse myself from the therapy room, step out, collect myself, and then go back. You know, because my opinion, well, no, I guess I wouldn't expect that from my therapist if my therapist got as emotional as I was. I don't think that would be a good look. So if I get too overwhelmed, I have no problem in stepping out of the room. I'll just say, excuse me for a minute, let me take care of something. I'll be right back. And then I'll come back. Usually only take about a minute, 40 seconds. But that's what I do to kind of get some of it off, because you're right. It's when we're in therapy with clients, it's almost like they're spewing all their stuff on us. And that is so true, that we do need to step back and decompress. So that's very important.
Okay.
Do you feel like it took you a while to kind of figure out what works best for you when it comes to taking care of yourself? And how often do you make adjustments to it, to things that you do to take care of you?
Well, when I first got started, I was pretty lost in that area. Fortunately, I was still in school, so we would have like open discussions about how our day was, and you know, they would do a check-in with all of us. But now what I do is I kind of mimic some of that with myself, because sometimes I don't see Renata and Athena. So I just, you know, try to make adjustments for myself. Me personally, I find that a lot of times I'll use comedy or, you know, romantic rom-com type movies. But as far as making adjustments to it, over the years, I think that things kind of adjust themselves. But I think the main thing that I've adjusted is just kind of dialing back on, I guess, spending, because, well, the economy has gotten so crazy. Everything has gotten so expensive. You got to get creative. Excuse me, even about your self-care. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't go to the nail shop as often as I used to. I don't get massages anymore, but I do use music and books. Sometimes I read up on some of the therapy techniques through, and I read Psychology Today, things like that, to kind of just decompress, kind of take your mind away, and then come back.
Okay.
So I guess I'll get into a fun topic here. If you had your dream workshop, what would your dream workshop be? If money was no object, if location was no object, what would be your dream workshop to host? And what would be you don't have to get into the details of like subject matter and all that stuff, because we don't want to give away no secrets in case you decide to do it, you know, and nobody steals your idea. But because this is an international show and other people in other countries do listen to this platform a lot, so we don't want to give away too many secrets, but what would be your dream, like, either workshop to host, like a general synopsis, like say, oh, I want to talk to children about this, or I want to talk to adults about that. Don't have to get no details or what you would name it, but like, if you could pick a dream location, dream topic, what would that be?
A dream location as well?
Yeah. Like, where would you want to host this wonderful, powerful workshop? In a general, like a very vague general, what would be your, because I mean, this will speak on your passion. Like, so what would be your area of expertise you would tackle, and what area of the country or the world would you want to teach it?
That is a very, very good question. One I was not prepared for, but I got an answer for you. My dream location would definitely be in a warm climate. Nice, warm, because I'm not going to have you in the workshop all day long. So I'm expecting the participants to be able to enjoy the environment as well as myself. So it would be in a warm climate. It would surround women. And the reason why I say women is because I feel like we get the short end of the stick wherever. I mean, we were just, I was just speaking with someone not too long ago. You know, there's been a lot of advancements towards women's equality and, well, I didn't want to bring up the Me Too movement, but in those areas as well, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of this stuff we're talking about, equality and Me Too and all that, been going on for since my mother was a girl. And she lived to be 92. So there's not a lot of, I would say there's not been a lot done in the area of women, but one of the things that I would like to discuss in this workshop is self-improvement, you know, self-awareness, self-actualization, you know, being the best person you can be. And not letting all the naysayers and people that's putting you down keep you discouraged. You know, and talking with young people, especially young women, I find that to be something that is almost serial. It's going on all over the place. These young girls don't have, their self-esteem is pretty low. I mean, I haven't taken a survey or anything, but the ones that I've worked with over the years, that's been one of the things that we have to work on is getting their self-esteem up because they beat themselves up so bad. Self-esteem is low on young females. Generally speaking, I can't say everybody's got low self-esteem, but generally speaking, yeah, I would say that a lot of the young women have low self-esteem.
I mean, I can definitely attest to that because I wasn't, especially a teenager, I was one of those young women who had low self-esteem. It wasn't that, I don't even know where my low self-esteem came from because I always had a boyfriend, so I don't know what my problem was. But I think my issue probably was like environmental. So, I mean, especially with the climate of the world now, you have a lot of depressed adults and not self-aware children. So everybody's just like, and this is my non-clinical opinion, everybody's going in circles right now because it's like everywhere you look is something that's triggering, something that is hurtful, something that is bothersome. It's just everywhere you turn. You can't turn on the TV.
Right.
You can't turn on your radio. You can't drive down the street. You can't go to work. I mean, it's like, it's always something. So I think the self-esteem and the way the world has evolved backwards is still affecting a lot of people, especially with the stereotype of how beauty is perceived and what beauty is and how beauty is, still not, I mean, we've come a long way, but brown skin is still not as beautiful. There's still some people who don't think that way, but the majority of people are starting to edge towards that. But people are still fighting that colorism. They're still fighting that socialism. They're still fighting that. So that's where a lot of that self-esteem is probably coming from, or the lack thereof, because people legit are not... where do you turn that you have some kind of relief, especially for us non-clinical folks? Because y'all clinical people, y'all got all that knowledge and exercises and work pages y'all can work through. Us non-clinical people are like, what do we do? And then those who don't go to therapy, they really like, what do we do? So, you know, at this point, I mean, I don't know. We could take a quick break, and because I know we probably need to take a break because I just looked at the time, and we'll take a quick break, and we'll be back with more of the Empowered Hour with Empowered Living. Stay tuned.
Hey, it's your girl, Lady J, and this is a special public service announcement. The Gallery Event Center of Indianapolis, Indiana is now an official partner. If you are a client of mine and you are in need of a venue to book your next event, then book with the Gallery Event Center today, who offers all-inclusive packages at extremely affordable prices. But wait, there's more. you are able to book custom all-inclusive packages that have been tailored exclusively for Lady J's clients. And yes, that includes the Ego Entertainment Network clients too. Connect with me today at LadyJ.co to receive your promo code and visit the Gallery Event Center located at 5852 East 82nd Street or call 317-534-6399 and visit their website at thegalleryeventcenter.com. This has been a special public service announcement by Lady J. Love y'all. Deuces. Are you in need of a fresh perspective on relationships, wholeness, love, and transformation? Or are feeling consumed with hurts from the past and finding it difficult to overcome traumatic events? Well, contact licensed marriage and family therapist, Sharon Mason of Love That Relationship. She can get you back on the road to building a healthy and loving relationship with yourself and others. Love That Relationship.
And we're back with more of the Empowered Hour. We were just chatting it up and didn't even realize that the time was just ticking away without doing a commercial break. So our apologies. excuse me.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No. You go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say what I was leading up to before the break when I started talking about, you know, social climate and everything, people dealing with the trauma of the world. I guess this would be for both of you guys. What are some of the myths you guys have encountered being therapists? I mean, because I already know some of them, but you know, because what we hear from old school, but what are some of the myths you guys have encountered just being a therapist that you're trying to switch up and change? I mean, I know a couple of them myself, but tell the listeners what are the myths you guys are encountering and trying to change.
Well, I'll go first. One of the things is that to ask for help is not a bad thing. It is okay. That's a myth. Another myth in the Black community, we're taught that the Lord is going to take care of you. You pray about it. And if things don't work out, you're not living right. That's one of the things that I've actually heard in church. So because a lot of us have this spiritual base, a lot of African Americans, we have a spiritual base. We depend on that base to handle everything. Well, the way I look at it, the Lord wouldn't have given us therapists if we didn't need them. So we need to utilize the help that's out there and not let negative thinking come into play when we're trying to make a positive decision to help carry on our lives in a better way. So yeah, that stigma in the African American community, I would love to get that removed.
That's like thousands of years of stuff you have to break through. But it's a good start. It's a good start.
Well, as we know, we can make change if we just chip away at it.
Agreed. I guess I would add to that because we kind of we had our company retreat, and this is actually something that we talked about. And just to kind of add to what Johnny just said about some minority groups. I wouldn't even just say just the Black community, but some minority groups. Right. This whole we don't do therapy. And I remember sharing with them that I was talking to someone and they were like, oh, you know, I don't need therapy. And I'm like, you're the main population that needs therapy because you have generations of trauma that may not specifically happen to you, but I mean, we have generational curses and we inherit trauma from family and all mm-hmm. those things, so and communities and all those things. So I think acting like therapy is not meant for everyone. I think that's one thing that we need to work on. Try to think of something else that I've heard. when I became a therapist, I know I did get some pushback from some of my family because it was like, don't be going in there telling all our business, the whole what happens in this house stays in this house mentality, which I think that's a big problem for a lot of people. So many secrets have been kept for so long. But we're not looking at the side effects of keeping those secrets. I feel like there's just so many. I'm trying not to just rattle off a crazy long list because I've heard so much stuff. And it's like, where did you get that from? My favorite is, oh, you're a therapist. That means you're always analyzing. And it's like, no, I'm not. I don't meet people and try to diagnose them off top. I don't do that. Mm-hmm. I don't know any therapist that does that.
I've heard that too.
I was going to ask that question because do people shy away from y'all because they know that you're a therapist thinking that you're going to therapize them? Or do people actually gravitate towards you because you're a therapist because they want you to do a free session? I mean, how does that work?
I think it's both and. Yes. I think it depends on what the person is going through at the time. Like the woman I told you I ran into at the airport, she was going through some stuff. And she was looking for somebody to share it with. And I guess I had that aura. I don't know what it was. But she just shared. And because we were waiting for the flight, I think I was like an hour and a half early. I believe that lady talked to me that whole hour and a half. So I think it depends on what the person is going through.
I agree. I feel like it's come up in dating. I have literally had a guy say to me, I want you to be my therapist. And like, you can't date me and be a client. Like, that doesn't work. I feel like it comes up more in dating. I've had a few people. I typically get more of the, I don't think it's intentional. I think there are some people who just kind of, you know, sometimes you're just having a bad day and you just kind of need to kind of spill. I've had the similar situations like Joni's had. I've been in the elevator and someone told me their whole life story on the elevator ride, and I don't even know what prompted it. It was a very long elevator ride. You do get the people who do kind of try to get a free session. You know, you get the people who just, I guess they can sense that you're empathetic and a good listener. So I think it kind of runs the gamut. Because I know there are times where I have to use my discernment on who knows that I'm a therapist, who knows what my specialties are and things like that. Because, you know, sometimes you don't want to set yourself up for failure.
Right. And I've heard the other end of that, that pendulum, where they tell you that, especially if you make a mistake, oh my gosh, oh, you're a therapist. You shouldn't be making a mistake. I mean, I'm a therapist. I'm not God. I'm not perfect. I have to remind them of that. They feel like because you're a therapist, you're not allowed to make a mistake. So, yeah, it's that other end, too.
So, Athena, what have you heard? Because even though you're not a therapist, you do co-own a therapy practice. For people who are a therapist. That's kind of what have you been hearing?
Shoot, people think that I am a therapist. That's the problem I have. And they think that I can help them because I feel like I have very limited knowledge as to how to assist people, even though some people have sworn that I've helped them. But I'm like, I tell them all the time, I'm not a therapist. I just hang around some people who are therapists and I talk to my therapist. So I'm just picking up things that they have told me. But however, you still need to go see a licensed individual that's not me, you know, because I'm not her. And I keep telling, because I have this one coworker, love her to death, but she literally would tell me her problems consistently. and it will at least be once a week. And I'm like, baby, I could be a listening ear all day long, but I'm gonna tell you the same thing. Have you talked to your therapist? And she got tired of me at one point saying that, but I was like, you have to come to realization that I work with therapists. I am not a therapist. So that's my biggest problem today. I will refer, but as far as me being a therapist, I will friendly advise, but it's not going to be like a therapy session with a licensed individual. So I totally, like I tell Renata all the time, I think Joni, I've said this to you before, y'all saints gone marching in. Y'all were given a gift. I cannot do that. I do not know how to, because my face tells the story, my lips solidify some things. So I just can't be that therapist. I know for me, I would probably be dismissed more than I'm kept if I was a therapist. So I think I just would rather let y'all do it. I'll be y'all little cheerleader, y'all side piece in the situation, but I will not be a therapist. So that's the biggest thing that I endure right now, is that I'm
that's
not,
what you say now.
I know there's some gifts that the Lord did not give me, and that's one of them. I am okay with being the side piece to y'all, you know, main show, to the main squeeze. I can do that. You know what I mean? I play my role. I'm a good side piece. I don't overstep my boundaries. I stay where I'm supposed to stay. I don't call the main house when I ain't supposed to. I keep myself where I'm supposed to be. I'm that old school side piece. Nobody knows I exist. Okay. Until the funeral. nobody knows that I'm here until
last minute. But I will say, you brought up a good point about both of you kind of touched on this assumption that just because you're a therapist, that means that like you've got life figured out. And like the example that I give, it's just like how many doctors, nurses, whatever that you know that are like not good patients.
Right.
All of them.
Because I mean, the thing is, we just have a lot of working knowledge of things, but that does not mean that, but we're also human. So I had therapy today, and it's funny because we were talking about boundaries, and I said to her, I talk about boundaries all the time, but there are some people in my life who I just don't have good boundaries with. They're there. Right. I just don't always enforce them at the level that I need to enforce them. And so because, and she was like, I know you're a therapist, but you know, people just assume that we have it together. And I'm like, we don't. So the joke that I feel like I hear a lot of therapists say is, if our clients really knew us outside of therapy, they may not come see us. Just because we're human, we don't have our lives together either.
Hey, we all have, trying to figure it out.
Yeah, we just have a lot of knowledge, and sometimes we apply it and sometimes we don't, just like everybody else.
Correct. I agree with all that.
I mean, it's true, because I know I've encountered a lot of doctors in my day, because I've worked in medical settings a lot, and a lot of doctors don't take care of themselves. But at the same time, we all know, especially in every profession, we all have a limit. We all have a limit of things that we can and can't do, and not being human is one of those things. So we have to, even though put you guys on the pedestal that to me is stupid, because it's like, you can't put people on a pedestal that they can't falter from, because we're all human. We're not mm-hmm. going to all have perfect marriages. We're not going to mm-hmm. all be skinny. We're not going to all have whatever, millions and millions of dollars. And this is my non-clinical opinion. Therapy is one of the least celebrated areas of business, also one of the most underpaid. And I'm not knocking teachers, but teachers and therapists and people in that service industry are often overlooked, underpaid, because people always say, well, therapists can charge what they want. Yeah, you can charge what you want, but getting people to pay what you want them to pay and be consistent, it's like your goal is ultimately to get people to a point where they don't need you or they don't need you as often. And so being a therapist is not that glamorous job or that high paying job that people try to say that it is, because I've heard people say that about therapists before, like, oh, you guys make all the money. Not necessarily, because if you don't have people who are willing to come consistently see you, even after they get quotation mark better, where's the money at? And then there's so many people who are therapists, and there's so many people who therapy chair hop, just like beauticians and everybody. The same thing happens in therapy. It's like you do not consistently make big lump sums of money. You know, there are people who work for Better Health that unfortunately are bringing in less than $50 an hour, less than $50 a session. And, you know, Better Health is probably charging at least 100 and something per hour, but they're not even paying their therapist the amount that they deserve because they do volume and things like that. So, like I said, y'all saints got marching in, because there's no, the amount of things that you guys go through emotionally, physically sometimes, it doesn't match your pay. And the world is so backwards that it doesn't value what services you guys put into the world, what services teachers put into the world, what services a lot of these nonprofits put into the world, because some nonprofits don't see a good return on all the work they do for 10 years down the line or more. So again, I commend y'all. I really do commend y'all for being therapists, for giving up y'all mental health to help other people get their mental health together, because it's, I know I can't do it. That's not my gift.
Well, I will say this. I think that I don't want to leave this impression that therapists don't make money, because there are some therapists that do very, very well. I think it just depends on a couple of factors. I think the population that you work with, kind of licensure, like there's just a lot of factors. A lot of the therapists that I know, they have multiple jobs. So, I mean, there is the, just like with any job, you have low, middle, high earners. So just in case there's someone that's thinking about becoming a therapist, I don't want them to be like, well, no, I'm not going to do it because I'm not going to make money. That's not an accurate statement. There is. Yeah, sure. So yes, there are some therapists that don't make very much money. And there are some that do very, very well for themselves. So I think it just kind of depends.
And then, like I said, that's my non-therapeutic, non-sitting y'all seat opinion. And it maybe is from me looking from my perspective outward, because there are a handful that, like, but that's with any professional. There's always a handful that make a really good amount of money. Just like even with teachers. I mean, professors make way more than your average school teacher, and they deal with a heck of a lot less. You understand what I'm saying? So there's always, but yes, they have gone to school. Some of them have gone to school longer. Some of them have gone to school the same amount of time. But their joy is in that certain wheelhouse. So because they want to give back, they want to work in inner city school, they want to do what they want to do, some people take a lesser amount. So again, that is my non-therapeutic opinion. And my non-therapy working opinion, because I don't know how much I make, truthfully. Y'all could be millionaire. I just know that's not my story.
Well, you're not alone.
No comment. No, I'm kidding.
I mean, if y'all got it, you know, can I hold a little something? You know, my birthday is about 13 days. I just let me hold a little something.
Ooh,
you know,
I knew you was going to slap it in at some point.
I sure. Birthday month, not a birthday, okay? Birth month.
Okay.
Okay.
I know what you're saying.
It's all right.
So, Joni, I know we're almost out of time. Was there anything like words of wisdom or anything like that you want to leave our listeners with, since now they've gotten to know our this mysterious third member of Empower Living, and we're always like, she's always been there.
Just a little self-disclosure. Part of the reason why I have not been on the scene, I had to have two hip surgeries. Mm-hmm. Not one, but two. So trying to get all that straight. The pandemic had its play in there because they weren't doing surgery. So yeah. I had to wait until they opened up surgery again. They referred to my case as elective surgery, which it was not, because I was in excruciating pain, but there were people, you know, worse than me. That's where I've been, trying to recuperate, get back on my feet. But the thing that I would like to have our listeners carry with them as we close out is that it is no shame in asking for help. You know, one of the things that I've had the unfortunate opportunity, I'll say, to come across is that people so often judge themselves way more harshly than anybody else would ever judge them. You know, I can't do this, or I'm not that, or, you know, they put themselves down so bad till they believe that everybody else is putting them down too. Mm-hmm. Well, you're going to get help for you. Trust and believe nobody else is concerned about that. You're going to get some help for yourself. Take care of what you need to take care of. Nobody else really cares. So don't let what anybody else says, or what you read in the papers, what you hear on the news or in the media, if you need help, there's no shame in asking for help. That's the thing I want people to remember. And you could always call Empowered Living if you need some help, somebody to talk to.
So, Johnny, are you seeing clients right now?
If somebody, I am accepting new clients right now. Okay. From, I say 8 to 80, but I will go as low as 5.
Will you go past 80?
I'll go past 80. I think the oldest, and they were a couple, the oldest couple that I've ever worked with was 72. He was 72 and she was 72. I don't remember their birthdays, but they were obviously born in the same year. And they were having problems in their marriage. So yeah, I've worked with young people, older people, students. I was really proud to be involved, have a client involved in therapy that she said, well, I want to do what you're doing. Well, before she ended up coming out of therapy, she was enrolled in a marriage and family therapy program. So I was so proud that I played a small role in that.
Good job. Well, Johnny, thank you for being on our show. We greatly appreciate it.
Yes, that hour went fast, didn't it?
It did. It did. I am so glad you guys invited me to be the guest today. Thank you so much. And to all those out there listening, please come back next week. We got some more for you.
So the thing that means we have to do a show next. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
We plan to.
I'm
we
kidding. To. We're getting everything kidding about.
I mean, we got a couple minutes left, but I will say, I guess what we always ask the guests is, how do people find you so they know they come to Empower Living? But we always say, is there any words of wisdom you would like, the last minute nugget you would like to drop before you, before the show's over with?
So outside of what you've already said, was there anything else additional you wanted to add?
Yeah, anything else, any upcoming event, any little nugget at all?
Well, we've got the Family Success Workshops at the Glick Center, 71st and Michigan Road, just west of Michigan Road on 71st. 2990
West 71st
Street.
Is it West? I can't even remember. I'll look it up.
Yeah, that's West. Meridian is the dividing line, east and west. But yes, come out. The workshop is from 6 to 8. And we look forward to seeing you.
And it's the second and fourth.
Every Wednesday other Wednesday.
The second and fourth.
The second and fourth Wednesday of the month. Correct. It's called Family Success. Yes.
And you can see that flyer on the Fabe Car Glick website. It should be on our website at empoweredlivinginc.net. Also, I'll make sure I post it on our Facebook page as well. Okay. But yes, the address is 2990 West 71st Street, right behind the Church of Chicken on 71st Street. And it is free. It is open to the public. That's why we were talking about this on this open platform, because anybody can come in. The more the merrier. We are ready to receive you.
Mm-hmm. And Johnny also co-facilitates our grief and loss group that we do in Martindale Church.
Right. I forgot about that one. Every other Tuesday, the second and fourth Tuesday of the month. I'm not sure of their address. Isn't that Martindale Church?
Their address, excuse me, is 2402 Dr. Andrew J. Brown. Yeah. But yes, it is Martindale Church of Christ, or Martindale Church of Christ. You do not have to be a member. It is open to the public. You do not have to belong to a church or that church. You can come in. Again, it is a free group. That group is centered around grief and loss, but it's not all about sitting there and grieving. It's about healing and getting to a good space. So I have to start coming to attend the classes soon, since I've changed jobs and I get off at a decent time these days. So I'll have to start coming to a couple classes and check y'all out.
Okay. So next week would be when all the stuff we just listed will take place. Next Tuesday and next Wednesday.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of anything else that Joni's forgetting to mention that she's doing. I can't keep track of your schedule.
I think that might be it. I know Joni.
That's it for right now.
Okay, that's it for right now.
Yeah.
Well, as always, it's been a pleasure. Let's see. What does Empowered Living have coming up in general? That we could share. I mean, we do have a retreat coming up, but I believe all the seats are sold at this time. So, but thank God for that. But that's in November. So stay tuned in case there is a spot that opens up or somebody cannot make it. Please stay tuned to our website. We will, or our Facebook pages, and we can announce if there's any spots left for the women's retreat. It is a 3-day in-state retreat here in Indianapolis. So, you know, we try to do different locations as much as we can. So, this Saturday, though, is the re-up brunch. That'll be at the Gallery Event Center. And for anybody who came last year, you guys had we all had a wonderful time. I was a moderator last year. I guess I get to do it again this year. I did so wonderful. They invited me to do it again. Trust me to do it again, I guess. Lady J, she likes me today. No, just kidding.
but don't forget the book.
Oh, yeah. But the brunch will be from, I'm sorry, the doors open for the brunch about 10:30. Registration starts. There will be vendors. There will be things going on from 10:30 until 11, and then the actual program part starts about 11:30. So get there early, get there on time. Seats are first come, first serve. So if you like to sit on the end versus sitting in the front or in the middle, make sure you come to the event on time. It is the reloaded version of the brunch that we did last year, because so many people said that they enjoyed it and wanted to do it again. We're doing it again. So definitely there's still a couple seats left. I know Lady J had someone who donated a couple tickets earlier. I'm not sure if they're gone or spoken for, but I believe they are gone. Why I keep saying last year? It was this year, Lord. See, this year is just going so much too fast for me.
Athena, don't forget the book and the journals.
I don't know. People know about that. It doesn't is a trip book. And okay. But, oh yeah, we talk about it all the time. But if you have not gotten your copy of Adulting is a Trip, you can always order it from our website. You can get it off Amazon. You can get it off of Walmart.com. There's a few bookstores that have it. Even Ujamaa, they still has a couple where they might be sold out of them at this point. We're looking to get our book in a couple other places. So if you have other places to suggest that we get our book at, please let us know. But yes, if you need a copy, do not buy it offline. If you are here locally in Indianapolis, we have some here you can buy from us. Heck, we'll have them on our person at the Re-Up Reloaded brunch this weekend. So if you want to get one from me, holla at me. I got one for you with a signature on it if you want it. So am I forgetting anything? Because I keep saying last year, this is still the same year.
I think I got everything.
Yes, before Lady J killed me. But yeah, so please continue to listen to JQLM. If you have any show ideas or if you want to be on the platform, please reach out to Lady J by going to the website egoentertainment.com. So egoentertainment.com. Right? I think I said that right. I always have to write it out. But anyway, check out the platform. All right. I think I'm done.
Well, everybody have an amazing rest of the week.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.